The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and he said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
And again, welcome to you. We're so glad you're here with us at All Saints, either in person or online. We're glad we can all be together in this way. So good to see so many faces. We continue today in our series, Like Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Would you make my words, your words this morning, and make my words and the meditations of all of our hearts pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our series, Like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, which our Galatians 5 reading describes, is where we continue this morning. We've looked at, in our series, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. The character of God's Spirit for this week is gentleness. And that reminds me of a story my brother-in-law told me this week. Seems there was a visiting pastor who attended a men's breakfast in a rural farming area in the heartland. The group asked an older farmer to say the blessing before they ate. So this older farmer in his well-worn bib overalls stood up and began, "Lord, I hate lard." The visiting pastor wondered where this was going to go. "And Lord, I hate raw white flour." Now the pastor was growing concerned. The farmer continued, "And Lord, you know I don't much care for buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and looked around to realize he was not the only one in the room who seemed concerned. "But Lord, when you mix them all together, I do love warm, fresh, baked biscuits. So Lord, when things happen we don't like, when life gets hard, when we don't understand what you're allowing, help us trust you and wait until you're done mixing and baking. It'll probably be even better than biscuits. Amen." Now, about now you're wondering, okay, Craig, how does that remind you of gentleness? Well, I think we can all agree that 2020 has been a year full of things happening we don't like. And we're having to trust God and wait on the mixing and the baking. Our sermon series reminds us of the ingredients he wants to use in that process, the fruit of his Holy Spirit. And a key one missing today is gentleness. What is gentleness? The Greek word in Galatians 5 for gentleness is the same word used for meekness in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word is often misunderstood as weak. A good working definition for gentleness this morning is strength or power under control for the benefit of others. It requires and flows from humility, which is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. The opposite of gentleness is a sense of superiority, selfish ambition, a personal agenda. And so our outline for this morning, a gentleness shortage, a gentle servant, and gentle service. First, a shortage of gentleness. That's a missing ingredient, as I said today. Now, I grant you there are times when gentleness is not what you think is needed. For example, when looking to draft a middle linebacker, or jackhammering old concrete, or field dressing a deer, or overturning money changers, tables in the temple, as Jesus did in righteous, holy anger. But I hope we can agree that in personal relationships and collectively in our society of personal relationships, gentleness is an indispensable, sorely needed ingredient. For example, physical encounters. Anyone use Nextdoor app? Did anyone catch the thread on Nextdoor app this last week from somewhere in Westlake? The subject line, "Hey, lady in the Maserati in HEB parking lot just now." Open it up. "You ran over my husband's foot as you were leaving. He has it elevated, and he is in a lot of pain. Pay attention. Next time, it could be a child." No doubt, we need help with gentleness in our driving. And by the way, if you were wondering, my foot is doing much better now. It feels fine. Thank you very much. No doubt, we need help with gentleness in physical encounters in driving, but especially in our personal interactions, our words and our attitudes towards each other. Especially in this year of racial and political turmoil. We're living in what Paul Tripp calls, quote, "a culture that glories in outrage." Missy Wallace, the director of Faith and Work Initiative at Redeemer Church's City to City ministry in New York, says, "Everyone has a them, those whose views we don't want to tolerate." Author Jen Pollock Michael says outrage has become our national sport. Anger, the highest of our civic virtues, but the scandalous, gracious, lavish love of God calls his people to a better way, the gentle way of Jesus, unquote. Given our gentleness shortage, we do need to turn to the gentle servant. Point two, the gentle servant. Our Old Testament passage from Isaiah 42 is the first of four servant songs, which are quoted. This one is quoted in Matthew chapter 12, and it says that Jesus fulfills this servant song. So Isaiah 42, look at verses 1-4. "My chosen servant in whom I delight will bring justice." That word justice is the Hebrew word shalom. Justice to the nations. Well, that's what a king does. A king uses his royal power to set things right. Verse 2, "He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Now that describes gentleness, power under control for the bruised and barely flickering, the weak, the poor, the needy, in order to heal, not to break them. What a paradox. Think about it. Gentle, royal power. the results of a king without the methods of a king. This is God's way of justice, the gentle way of Jesus. This is the gospel of gentleness. Have you ever seen a great or powerful person serve the hungry or visit the sick? If you have, you probably see them even greater or more majestic because they're not acting great or majestic. In 1981, when Diana Spencer came on the scene and married Prince Charles, she was a privileged, pretty face. It wasn't until years later she began to move towards her eventual moniker, Queen of Hearts. It was in 1987, some of you may remember this, when she risked her royal aura to visit and shake hands with the day's untouchables, those with HIV/AIDS. Like this past spring, it was unclear back then how the virus spread. Some thought just by touch. The compassion Diana showed for the bruised and weak is the faintest echo of what we have in Jesus Christ. Infinite highness, infinite humility, a seeming contradiction. Isaiah's Hebrew word for bruised means crushed, like a deep contusion, injuring or destroying an internal organ, often a death blow, dying from the inside, but maybe it's not even evident on the outside. Friends, that is us. We're all bruised by sin, but it shows itself differently in each one of us. But because Jesus is able, he offers to bind up the broken and the brokenhearted and heal their wounds. Consider the woman in our gospel passage from John 8, caught in the act of adultery. As with all forms of sexual sin, the Old Testament legal penalty was death. But here Jesus doesn't execute the penalty or condemn her. Instead, he responds with gentleness. Go and sin no more. Jesus here maintains the morality of the law, but not its penalty. You see, friends, in the new covenant, Jesus has come to take, to absorb the penalty for us. Just a little over 10 chapters later, Isaiah says this: he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement we deserved. That has brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Think of like the gentle giant, John Coffey, in the film The Green Mile, taking upon himself others' pain and sickness and even death in order that they might have life, a new life. This is the picture of our gentle Savior, Jesus. Friends, the gospel isn't your repentance leads God to gentleness towards you. Instead, God's gentleness has come first to lead you and anyone to repentance and to him. So turn to him in and with your weakness, and you'll find gentleness, not harshness. Yes, Jesus is fully divine, but he's also fully human. Scripture says, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. That means he understands the nature of our weakness better than we do because he's resisted its temptation all the way to victory. Christ has come for all who realize they're weak, not strong, broken, not whole, empty, not filled, sinful, not righteous. Don't let anything keep you from coming to the gentle Savior. And as Isaiah reminds us, the gentle royal power of Jesus is committed to justice, making things right. In the 1960s, when Martin Luther King Jr. faced the sinful, corrupt injustice of Jim Crow laws, he made a choice to disobey them, civil disobedience, but nonviolently, in gentleness, in the spirit of Christ. At the time, liberal activists thought nonviolence was crazy, and lawful conservatives thought lawbreaking was crazy. But it was this combination that got the results of a king without the methods of a king, the way of Jesus. Pastor Brian Loritz says, quote, "The rights and privileges that I experience today as a black man were secured for me by a movement whose locus of power was in their response, nonviolent, peaceful, gentle. In an historic irony, gentleness toppled Jim Crow and literally changed the face of our democracy. Decades removed from these gains, we need gentleness in a world steeped in outrage and cancel culture." Unquote. Think about it. Abuse of authority and violence and looting are all power that's uncontrolled, often for self-benefit, self-aggrandizement. Gentleness, on the other hand, is strength under control for others' benefit. Now, you may say, well, I can't imagine looting. Well, what about looting intangible values? For example, another's reputation, how we think about or speak about others. Are we respectfully assuming the best or disrespectfully, even dismissively, assuming the worst? Which leads us to our third point, gentle service. Knowing our gentle Savior shows in gentle service to others. How do you treat those you hardly know who are weaker than you, less gifted, less accomplished, less attractive, less connected? Do you respond harshly, judgmentally, self-righteously, critically, dismissively? Or do you respond with gentleness? And do you treat those closest to you with gentleness? Husbands and wives, parents with your children, older siblings with younger siblings, brothers with your sisters, at work with your colleagues. Followers of Jesus have his indwelling power to bring life in relationships or death, to heal a bruised reed or break it. Proverbs 15 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And it's not just words, it's our actions as well. Certainly every Christian is called to respond and initiate in gentleness. Friends, if you don't embrace and know the gentle Savior, you will have insufficient fuel for gentleness with others. But if you do know and embrace this gentle Savior, you'll look for ways to show his gentleness to others as you have received from him. As one of your pastors, I can tell you it is a great joy to know and see how involved so many of you are in gentle service to local needs, both financially and in-person support through East Austin Young Life, The Source, Side by Side Kids, Texas Reach Out, just to name a few. And here on campus, in our ESL ministry, English as a Second Language, ministering to our nearby Hispanic neighbors, offering them meals needed, special financial assistance, the learning pods for their children who didn't have access to computers during the time of virtual learning, and of course, English classes. We are starting up English classes again in January, and we already have 40 students registered. The problem is, we need something more than money can buy. We need people. We need helpers to come and show gentleness by speaking simple conversational English. Now, there is a test. Any age can apply, but there is a test. If you can fog a mirror in English, you qualify. If COVID is keeping you at home, we can set up virtual instruction for you. When our Hispanic neighbors tell us through translators what the gentle service of our church has meant to them, the conversations usually end in tears of appreciation. If you can help, please contact our church office, Matt Zier or myself, and we will set you up. Tim Keller says about our polarized society, we will never be gentle and kind with one another unless we receive the perfect gentleness of gospel grace that restructures our hearts and identities so that we can speak the truth in love to others and show the tenderness of Jesus. Friends, through his church, God is mixing a recipe of something delectable and beautiful for all the world to see and experience. He offers to nourish you this morning at this table of gentleness. He offers this indispensable ingredient of gentleness for you to share with others, that you might walk into this week living out the way of Jesus and making it even better than biscuits. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord God, you are full of majesty. Thank you for humbling yourself and absorbing what we deserve, that you might gently receive us and transform us into your likeness. Help each of us turn to you and find strength in our weakness and rest for the weary. For you are the gentle Savior. And then, Lord, help all of us turn in gentleness to others. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.